morning, I want to just show you some differences in Scripture that we need to keep in front of us that I believe people fail to do. And our Scriptures, if we're not careful, we continue to read, but we forget that as we read, we need to divide these Scriptures in a way that we know who, what, when, where, and everything, so the Word of God becomes more clear. So I'm going to touch on a few things this morning, because what I am finding out as I talk to people everywhere, at work, even here, it seems that the Bible has become a book because of our traditions of how we're raised, that the Bible has become a book that is actually hard to understand, and it shouldn't be. I mean, why in the world would God make a book for people that He loves to save? Why would He make a book that should be hard for us to understand if He wanted us all to be saved? Well, men have made that book hard to understand because we've been caught up in traditions and in religion, okay? And we've not done it in a way to where the Word of God today Satan uses to deceive people to believe wrongly. Would you agree? I mean, it's all about Wednesday night. I sat here and I wrote up denomination after denomination, and the issue, the reason they all get along is because they can all find something wrong with each other. Instead of having, we actually have all the answers in the Word of God if it's read correctly. And let me tell you what, you will not get along with us. Paul was left alone. And so we have a major thing that can be even disheartening for us if we trust in things of this world. But our trust comes from things of what Christ did. And Paul spoke this morning about our blessings being in heavenly places. So a lot of times the reason we can get confused or disappointed or whatever is because our focus is wrong. And the reason your focus can be wrong is mainly because you do have a hard time understanding the Word, or you don't read it, or you're trusting in somebody else to give you the answers for you. And it won't work that way. It just, if you're counting on me for you to get all your knowledge and wisdom, let me tell you what, I am going to mess up. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I am. There are things every day, as I study, I can't tell you the differences from 6 years ago to where this Scripture has changed my life to today, the things that I believe a little bit differently that I realize I was wrong about. That's life. That's what happens. But the issue comes is studying the Word. So there is no doubt, would you agree, people today have a hard time understanding the Bible. They really do. It's not that the Bible's hard or God's made it hard. It's that we have counted on other men for their wisdom and knowledge to show us ways that we think are right but are wrong. And it's gone from, you can follow seminaries all the way back to where it's about the power of men. The problem is that we have trusted in man. We don't look at what it says. We look at what man says about it. We look at what man thinks it's saying. A lot of people today look for an emotional fix. We want to have a rule book so we can measure up to other things. And just why would an almighty, holy, perfect God need man to help explain what He said? That would be a God that needs help. God needs no help at all. What we need to understand is we have a responsibility as a body of believers to share with others that are lost the truth. That's what we have a responsibility. The Bible is only hard to understand if you would rather have someone read it and teach it to you. Because this is what many trust in, and because of that, they miss the truth. They miss the joy of understanding what real peace is when you do that, because they're always looking for somebody else to give them answers. If you're here this morning, I hope you see why you have to study and read the Bible for yourself. That's my whole focus in this. So I want to show you some scriptures of what the Word of God says and show you some differences of why it's so important that we focus on things in the Word and not other people. If you're a reader, then I hope you take it and use what you know. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians 3, 9. Thank you. your own question for yourself. Is the Bible hard for you to understand? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, the Word of God says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Of course, if it's a mystery, that means it was something that had never been heard before when Paul was writing this. "Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So that's the purpose when we read the Word and to know the Word, is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. A lot of people, when they grasp the grace message, a lot of times they have the attitude, well, like, I'm free. I just do what I want to do. Stuff doesn't matter. Well, stuff does matter. It matters to the fact the reason you have a reason to be here is to be a minister and to make all men see that mystery that was revealed to Paul that is now revealed to you, and you have a responsibility. So it's not about what you have to do to perform out this Christian life. It's about making sure that people understand the fact that Christ took care of it all at the cross, and He does not need your performance. He needs you to share what He did at the cross and to bring His glory, and it's for your righteousness and for the righteousness of others. That when God sees them, He sees His Son. Right? The issue is that we share that mystery to the intent. It's so important that it even brings enlightenment to things in heavenly places. So that's amazing. Even angels alone look upon what you do as a body of believers. So there is a whole reason. A lot of people that have grasped the grace message. Too much dancing for me too, and I didn't even dance. So, but anyway, but a lot of people that grasp this grace message think that, well, there's nothing for me now. What's the point in? I mean, there's a huge point that Paul says it's to the intent. There's an intention here when you grasp this knowledge, but a lot of people can't because the next thing they do is they look for man to teach them something else instead of grasping the Word of Truth. It's to make all men see. We have to be clear. We have to compare scriptures, okay, to what is said, or you'll never get it. You'll never have the ability to teach it like you should be able to. To not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. So, a stance has to be taken for there to be intention to make all men see the revelation of the mystery, right? There has to be, somewhere along the line, there has to be a stance. There has to be somewhere where your standing is. You have to decide what is the authority by what you live by. If you do decide that this is not the authority by what you live by, then you've already made another decision. Some people say, well, I just don't know which one. You just made a decision. When you see what the Scripture says, and your responsibility, and you play it off, you've made another decision. God's not going to say, well, it's okay here, and it's not. The Apostle Paul is very clear in what you need to do as a body of believers. It's not about how you feel. It's about what the Word of God says. So this morning I want to show you some scriptures, hoping you'll understand why it's important to read the Word yourself. If the Word is truth, then what do we do with the scriptures that are dramatically different if we compare it as the whole all to us? There has to be an explanation. Go with me to 1 John for an example. Chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. I just want to show you something on what some people are trusting in, and they're not even reading the scriptures themselves, and they're counting on what men say. This is one that just stands out to me like crazy. In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to go to verse 27. 1 John 2, 27. I want everybody to be able to turn to there and see this. If you ever want to speak truth to somebody that believes in the charismatic movement or the Pentecostal movement, then these are great scriptures for you to see. In 1 John chapter 2, 27, the Word of God says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not," get that, "and ye need not that any man teach you." Well, if that scripture is for you, why in the world have you gotten out of bed this morning to come hear me teach? And do you understand what I'm saying? You've gotten yourself up this morning to hear me teach you. Okay? All over America today, Benny Hinn, all these people that are in the charismatic movement, we're right here in 1 John, right? They're preaching that this is to you right now. Okay? The scripture's clear that there's no man that needs to be teaching you. And these guys are sharing this. Now, there's a lot more. Look at this. But the anointing, you know, they talk about this anointing that they've gotten. You know, "the anointing which ye have received of Him that abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." You know what else that means? That means if they trust in that scripture, that not only do they not need anybody teaching them, but they have such an anointing that they will make no mistakes. If you read 1 John, it deals with the times of repression. It's prophecy of what's going to happen, because there is coming a time where God will hide His words in their heart to where they will be as Christ. Just like Christ. That's going to happen. It's not happened yet. If it has, you don't need to be here if you're saved. Right? You've got the words hidden in your heart. But yet, they say the Bible's hard to understand. Well, not if you have the words written in your heart. Right? You can't take these scriptures as though they're all specifically to you. We're in a revelation of a mystery that was hidden, okay, before the world began. Okay? Now, we got more scriptures. I just think that's kind of interesting. This is an anointing that Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, and many others claim they have. Well, if the verse is clear, then there also wouldn't be a need to be taught. There are other verses that shares a teacher would not be needed too. There's more prophecy. See, some people think, well, that's the New Testament. Well, let me tell you what, the New Testament ain't here yet. We're not part of the New Testament. The Testament was given to Israel. You're not Israel. Let me explain. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36 and look at verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. These are great things to mark when somebody tells you that they have an anointing, because you're going to need to ask them why they go to church then. There's no need. Right? Either that or the Bible's wrong. Then we all need to just leave. Go eat lunch now. Because there's no hope. Right? Ezekiel 36:26. In Ezekiel 36:26, the Word of God says, "This: a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Do you see the picture here? This is the same thing that was spoken of in 1 John, where they wouldn't need a teacher. The prophecy was coming that there was a kingdom that was going to come. Okay? And this was a promise that's going to come true. And it's still going to happen, but Israel failed. Okay? That's why we have grace today. That's why we share the revelation of the mystery, to the intent that others can understand they do not belong here. This is not their promise. This is a promise to Israel, who are going to have God's words hidden in their heart to the point that it causes them to live as Christ. And you can't do it. Can you? But you hear today on TV all over how this new spirit within them that comes. Well, I'm sorry. They put their pants on the same way I do. Right? The same way you do. They mess up every day. Because God's Word is not hidden in their heart. Can't do it. We got the Word that's complete right here. Let's carry on. Look at this. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and look at verse 33. Jeremiah 31:33. More prophecy that's going to come true. Jeremiah 31:33 says, I'll give you time to turn there, because you need to see this. This deals with whether we're a new covenant or not. I love the words New Covenant Church. Wrong answer. They can call it that, but that don't make it so. Yeah, don't you love it where people say, well, we're the best, not unless you win the Super Bowl, you're not. But they'll see sports guys talk about their being, sorry. That's the same thing with calling your church a New Covenant Church. It doesn't make you a New Covenant. Just like you see a lot of first this. Well, somebody else was first because there's 10 of them around here. So even the church name's a lie. It should be second and third and fourth and fifth. They need to get it right. That's just a little joke. It wasn't that funny. Jeremiah 31:33. This is another prophecy. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of who? Israel. It's not a covenant with you. This is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, he didn't do that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because they crucified him. Right? To the intent that today we can share this mystery that was hidden that they didn't have a clue about. But there's coming a day, and 1 John talks about it, in the times of refreshing, where these people will have His Word in their hearts to the point that it causes them to live as Christ. Okay? Now, let's carry on. Look at this. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34. And they shall teach no more. But today, everybody thinks they're Israel, and they're teaching. Okay? And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will... Look at this. Are you forgiven? When Christ died on the cross, were you forgiven? Okay. To the intent, to the fact that this is going to happen, is Israel forgiven? What does it say? For I will... Not I have, for I will. In the times of refreshing, salvation comes to Israel. Okay? Now the work's already been done. Okay? But salvation comes, and he says, for I, look at this, it says, no Lord, from the least of them and the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Is that you? If not, then you ain't a new covenant. Okay, you don't have a covenant. You have grace. A covenant is a law that God set between His people and Him. Right? And they couldn't do it. But they'll be able to. And it'll be right here. And they won't need a teacher. And they won't need to go to church. The issue is the law of His Christ. But today, all over America in churches, there's a Pentecostal movement, how the Spirit's coming in them and how they're making all this. Well, they don't need to be there if they're a New Covenant church. Because the New Covenant, His Word will be in their hearts. It won't be necessary. Right? Alright, now, go to Hebrews chapter 8. Again, a lot of people think Hebrews is written by Paul. Sorry, wrong answer. Hebrews is another... Here, let me just say it this way. A lot of people, even in the grace movement, think Hebrews is a letter to them, an epistle to them. What's the title of Hebrews? Hebrews? I have a hard time with that one, you know. That's like James. It starts off to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, but there's churches today going through the book of James that you need to live it out. Sorry, what tribe would you? It doesn't work that way, does it? But I'm telling you, there's people today, oh no, that's to us. Hebrew. I don't think so. Now, I know some Hebrew. No, that'd be Greek. What would belong to you? Because that's what it is. And that's Greek, ain't it? Okay. Hebrews 8:10. Look at Hebrews 8:10. Everybody there? For this is 8:10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will. Have you noticed when Paul's epistles, they say, Mark, you were talking about this morning? It blew me away when you started mentioning that, because this is what I had and I didn't think about it. But Mark talked about with Israel, it's I will, I will, I will, I will. All Paul's message deals with what? Half, 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 half. It's been done. Israel, it's going to be done. Okay? Now look at this, Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. I see no Gentiles being spoken of here. Okay, do you? No, no, it's all Israel. Verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And they claim they're Israel today. I'm sorry, but there's a big misunderstanding. Today your Pentecostals claim this anointing and still have Sunday school class, don't they? They have Sunday school. Okay? They have schools for missionaries. Today there are schools for people to go to be missionaries, to learn another language. But yet they claim they speak in tongues from the Holy Spirit. Come on now. If you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what school did these guys go to learn that language? The Holy Spirit came upon them. But today, they claim to be Israel and they have this special anointing and they got to go to school to learn their language. Not if the word's hidden in their hearts. Not if they won't need it. They won't even have to say, Know the Lord. But today they claim to be the new covenant. Not this new covenant, so I don't know what covenant it is, and I don't belong to any of it. Right? Now, the problem is that this verse speaks to a particular group of people, which of course is Israel. And if we are Israel and are in the New Testament, then we wouldn't need to be taught. Nor will they. Now, I didn't say this. The Word says this. Okay, so don't get mad at me if you got buddies and friends or whoever that tells you they've got this special one. I don't get... The Bible says this, okay? You either trust what the Word of God says or you don't, okay? All I've done is read you Scripture, okay? Today, churches are filled and they're being taught, and there's no need to if they're Israel in the New Covenant. So how do we explain this? Okay, we show you what's wrong. How do we show you what's right? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at the difference. Ephesians 4:11. Now, people say that Paul's part of the New Testament church, but I have a problem here because if we're not needing to teach, Paul says something wrong. Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, so why do we teach? It's to edify. It's to show you the difference in what was to Israel and what is to you today for your salvation, to the intent that people will see the mystery. The reason I'm here this morning is that as I read, you check this stuff out because it makes you who you are. It molds you as part of the body of Christ. If you're the pinky and you believe one thing, okay, and I'm whatever, a part of the body, and they don't work together, there's an issue, isn't there? If we don't have the same mind, we don't come together as a body of believers to learn this stuff, for you to check me out that I'm right, for me to check you out that what you say is right, for us to correct, for us to judge each other as a body, so this body can function well, okay, then we're missing it as a body of believers. Because we need to be able to teach to the intent that even principalities in heavenly places recognize. Okay? That's very important. And Paul says that that is needed. So you look, you've got to decide which one it is, but you can't say all this is for us, or something's big time wrong, right? Which one is it? It's gotta be one or the other. But we do it to edify, to lift each other up, to give you strength and confidence when you share with others why you are who you are. This is why you need to understand the Word of God. We got to make all men see. Tell you what, real quick, for sake of time, I'll tell you another good scripture to notice. Just within themselves, with Israel themselves, and how things changed. Go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 and look at verse 3. Now there are preachers today that will take Micah and they'll teach it just like it's how we need to be. But I love taking them to Joel after they go to Micah. But it's hilarious because there's a different time and a different thing going on. Look at Micah chapter 4 and look at verse 3. And he shall judge, everybody there? And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, is that going on today? There's a New Testament church. Sorry, people. Ain't working that way. So that time hadn't come yet, right? Am I right? Well, good. Go to Joel chapter 3 and look at verse 10. I love this. I love to hand this scripture to people that believe they're in this time and age. Because then what do they just do now? They beat their swords and, you know, there's all this peace. And then they go to Joel and they teach that it's for them too. But in Joel chapter 3, look at verse 10. Joel 3 verse 10. Somebody's ticked and things changed evidently. But in Joel chapter 3 verse 10, what's it say? Beat your plowshares into swords. Well, which one is it? Well, there must have been something different going on. That's why you got to know who, what, when, how, and what was going on. Because in Micah it says what they'll do. In Joel it says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. There's different times and different things. Why the opposite? Well, one's an instruction of peace. The other is of protection. Okay? You have to compare scriptures. Micah speaks of the kingdom on earth. Joel speaks of, guess what? The tribulation. Right? So that's why you see the difference. But neither are about us. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Just giving you some ideas. I'm about done. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. I love this. We're going to compare this to Mark. 1 Timothy 3, 2. A bishop, then, must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. That's how we need to be. We need to be hospitable. Okay? We need to be blameless. Okay? We don't need to be Mormon. We need to be the husband of one wife. Okay? We need to be sober. That doesn't mean that I can't take a drink. It just means my mind needs to be prepared. I need to be thoughtful. I need to be able to speak to you at any time. Okay? Some of y'all can speak better after you've been around. I'm kidding. Just a little joke, okay? I shouldn't have said that. Must be apt to teach. Go to Mark chapter 13. Now, we talked about being apt to teach. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 11. James back there grinning. Mark 13:11. Now we just said you need to be apt to teach. And we know that 1 Timothy is written by Paul. And we either believe that this is for us, or we believe it all is. So that means Mark and 1 Timothy should just add right up together, shouldn't they? Right?
Well, I'm glad you're looking at it. Verse 11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Well, now hold it. We need to be apt to teach, hospitable, sober. Okay, look. Look what he tells the disciples. Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. Don't even think about it. Okay? Why? The Holy Spirit's going to be upon them. Okay? You notice the Holy Spirit is in us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Holy Spirit wasn't in them. The Holy Spirit always came upon them. It wasn't in them. They weren't to be saved that way. Israel wasn't saved yet. Right? They all had to believe. Now look. He says, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So which one is it? We need to just hold on. Wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me something, then I'm going to teach y'all. If we're a New Testament church, I don't need to think about it. I don't need to worry about it. Just when that time comes, I'm going to have the power on high. No way. We need to be instant, in season, out season. We need to know the Word, and we need to be able to defend and take a stand for the Word. That's what Paul did, and guess what they did to him? They beat him. They stoned him. They whipped him. Okay? You said, for I reckon the sufferings... What was it you read this morning in Romans 8? That's the issue, guys. If you're focused here on this earth, it's going to run out. Okay? You don't belong here if you're saved. Okay? Now, anyway, there's definitely some differences. In closing, there's two scriptures I want to show you. 2 Timothy 2:15. I know y'all have all heard it. Y'all think, good Lord, how many times is he going to read this? Well, this is why it's important for you to read your Word and know how to divide it. It's very simple. You have Old Testament Gospels. By the way, those Old Testament Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know your Bible says New Testament between Malachi and Matthew. Sorry, man put that in there. Christ has not died yet. You can't have a new covenant until the death of the testator. That's in Hebrews chapter 9. But until there's a death of the testator, there can be no new covenant. Jesus died at the end of here, the end of here, the end of here, and the end of here. So Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I go on, is not New Testament. Okay? It's just not. I didn't say that. It's what the Word shows. Okay? It's clear. Okay? Now, 2 Timothy 2:15. This is what you have to do to be somebody that can share the mystery so that others can be shared to the intent. Okay? This is a direction. This is something that Paul gives you as a body of believers. Okay? Now, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Can I tell you something? There's coming a day that if you know the truth of the fact of this right here, and you see your lost friends that can't make heads or tails of the whole Word of God, and you've been in this Word, and you've studied it, and you've grasped this grace knowledge, okay? And you've been on the milk, and it's high time that you get on the meat. I promise you, in what I've learned in 6 or 7 years, I would be ashamed. It would make me feel awful that I couldn't share the truth. If you're a new believer in this, and you understand this, get in the Word. Because the last thing you need to do is to know that you've studied, but yet you're ashamed because you can't share the mystery to the intent. We have a responsibility, guys, as a body of believers. So a lot of people in church today, they're as lost as a goose. because they're counting on their performance to get them to heaven. And all they have to do is trust in what Christ did and the grace message. Right?
One more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I told you two. Chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." I hope this morning through these scriptures, there are certain things that you have been assured of. Number one, that you're not a New Testament church. Number two, that you understand that if you're here, then evidently you must not believe that. Right? I mean, you know, let's come on. This is the one message I want to teach if any Pentecostal church asks me to come preach. I just want to so bad. So if there's any openings, y'all let me know, because that'll blow. I'll just tell them they need to leave. You know, because there's no need for it. They got the word hidden in their heart. Now, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, I know that's a big word, righteousness. All it means is rightness, things that are right. Okay? Now, in saying that, don't leave here today thinking I said, well, this is all you need to study. Because the Scripture said all Scripture is profitable. We need to know everything. Why? If you only know Paul's letters, then you can't defend and help those that are learning this the wrong way, can you? Not only that, if you can see the differences, then it strengthens you here, and it causes you to rejoice in the things that Christ did and not in the things that you did. So it's important that we do that. So I'm not saying just read Paul's letters and walk away. It's all profitable. Have I helped you this morning? All I've done this morning is I've taken you to 1 John. I've taken you to Ezekiel. I've taken you to Malachi. I've taken you to Joel. I've taken you to Hebrews. I have used all these Old Testament scriptures, and it should be profitable for you. Was it? It should be. So I'm not saying that all scriptures aren't for us. All the Bible is for us. But using all the Bible, it should show you that Paul's letters are to you. There's a difference. All Scripture is for you, but not all Scripture is written to you. Best example I'm using just right off the bat, right there. That ain't your title. But yet, you're going to make that book your book. Sorry, those are promises that are given to Israel, that there's coming a time and times of refreshing. By the way, if you're saved, you'll be in heavenly places. You won't be here. I believe we'll know what's going on and we'll be able to see things. I don't know. I don't have any scripture to hand you for that, okay? So I'm not going to teach a lesson on it either. But what I do know is it's clear. He says, Israel, 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 in those scriptures I read. Do you think it's important for other people to know? I do. I really do. So what's so important? I think it's important that this should not be hard to understand. The only way that's not going to be hard to understand is if you take some time out to start reading your Word. Right? It needs to be done, guys. It needs to be done. Because if you don't, you can't say you studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needed not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study is something you've got to do. You got to do it. Do you care? You should. If you don't, we ought to be ashamed. There are a lot of lost people in this world. A lot.